I'm so very thankful to have Dan Shackelford here with us today. Many of you know, some of you don't. Dan and Tammy Shackelford are missionaries in Canada, in Vancouver, and we have a partnership with them. And they are just doing an amazing work among the Persian people group. If you've not been paying attention, you need to, at some point, maybe get on the internet or look, and you will see that God seems to be doing an unusual thing. There's an unusual move of God currently, right now, among Iranians. Of course, they live in a society that is applying tyranny to them, and yet God continues to do miraculous things. Right now, we can't get our missionaries into Iran. But God is seeing fit to bring Iranians to places like Vancouver, Canada. And I'm thankful for Dan and Tammy and their entire family, their beautiful children who are there. We will be going to Vancouver to assist them in helping push their ministry along this next spring. And I hope that you will consider going and being a part of it. So Dan, I want you to come, if you would, please, sir. He's going to share God's word with us this morning. I want to pray for him, his family, and I know you'll want to shake hands with him and say blessings upon them and their family after the service today. So let's pray together. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you so much for my brother and the way that you've gifted him, the way that you've burdened his heart, the great move of your spirit among the work that they are doing. And God, I pray that now as he opens the word for us, that our hearts would be attentive, in tune, and God, that you would call us to obedience today. Father, we thank you for your work. Be with us now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Well, good morning. It is good to be here today. I love this church. You guys are good to my in-laws and good to us whenever we're here every couple of years. Thank you so much for the vision you have for missions. Thank you so much for the work that you do around the U.S. and around the world and here locally in Broken Arrow. It's very good to be here. If you have your Bible and you want to open it to Galatians chapter 5, I know you've been in Galatians a lot, but I think it's a good book, and we can be in it this morning too. And I'm sure Andy will get to Galatians chapter 5 in a few years, and so you will have forgotten all this by then, I promise. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, Galatians 5 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." Today I want to talk to you about freedom. I want to talk to you about my work with Persians, but I also, in that regards, want to talk to you about freedom. And what is freedom? Paul says here, "For freedom Christ has set us free." And I think freedom is something that everyone wants, everyone talks about, everyone desires in their own lives. But I think the world has a very different view of freedom than what the Bible has as a view of freedom. One thing about Iran, if you know about, Andy said just a minute ago that it was ruled tyrannically, and it's right. In Iran, there aren't a lot of freedoms, physical freedoms. In Iran, you're told what you can wear. Women particularly are told they have to cover their head. Men are told you can't go into government buildings with short sleeves on. I have a friend who needed to do some work in a bank. He was wearing a short sleeve polo shirt, and he came to the door, and the security guard said, "You can't come in like that." And he said, "Why not?" He said, "Well, you have short sleeves on. You can't come in with your elbows showing," basically. And so he went to a newspaper stand and got a newspaper and wrapped it around his arms. And he And he went back to the bank and said, well, can I come in now? And the guy said, well, I guess you can, but that's not very good. But so there's a lot of rules, a lot of just a lack of freedom. You know, you can't do what you want to do. You can't wear what you want to wear. You can't go to the places you want to go. Much of society in Iran is separated between men and women. And in the mosque, even, there's a place where women go and sit and a place where men go and sit. And you have to abide by these rules. There's also more serious rules in Iran. Women have basically no rights in marriage in Iran. They cannot divorce their husbands. The husbands can divorce the wife, as many wives as he wants to, but the woman cannot do that, even in abusive relationships, and that happens some in Iran. They also have rules about what they can name their kids. And so I had a friend who wanted to give his kid a biblical name that wasn't a Quranic name as well. And the government said, you cannot give your kid a name that's not a Muslim name. And they would not issue their baby a passport for that reason. And he got on a list because he was trying to give his kid a Christian name that he couldn't get a passport for his son. And so they snuck out of the country. I met them in Turkey. But you're told what you can name your kids, and you have to have Muslim names for a Muslim kid in Iran. So they have very little freedom. They have very little liberty. And so what happens with Persians is they move west, particularly in Vancouver. If you know much about Vancouver at all, you know that it's not a very Christian city. It's very, very liberal. There's lots of things that the Bible doesn't agree with going on in Vancouver. And so you get people, Persians, who move to Vancouver, and they think they're free. They start maybe wearing a lot less clothes. The women separate from their husbands. One of the things also about Vancouver is couples will go to counselors, and the counselors will tell a wife, well, if you just don't get along with the husband anymore, go find somebody you get along with. You can divorce him and start over. And that's kind of the counseling that is the mainstream counseling in Vancouver that they get. And so my wife has walked through several women who were trying to divorce, some who did divorce, some who were just in great depression in the West because they found that it's not as good as they dreamed it would be. But you see this struggle among Persians to find freedom. I have a good friend who was a good friend in Turkey. My wife and my kids and I used to live in Turkey for 6 years working with Persians there. And I had a friend who, in Turkey, we did lots of ministry together. He was one of the leaders in our Persian church in Turkey. And he came to Canada about 2.5 years ago. And when he came to Canada, he told me, you know, I've been a servant in the church for a long time, and basically I'm ready to start getting paid to do it. And so I said, well, you know, man, you need to start serving the church here locally, and we can see kind of where it goes, see if there's opportunities along the way. But you need to be a servant before you come in and try to be a leader. And he left the church, left the Farsi church, started going to a Canadian church. I came to the States. This was 2 years ago. I came to the States for the summer. Had really good communication with him before we left. I went back after the summer. I called him. He didn't answer. I wrote him on Facebook. He didn't answer. I wrote him on other social platforms that we have. He didn't answer. Then one day I ran into him in a part of town where he was living. And I said, you know, hey, man, what's going on? He said, oh, I've been thinking about you lately. We should get together and do something. I said, I agree, we should. And I said, what's going on with your church life? You know, how's your walk with God? And he said, oh, you know, my walk with God's good. I still read my Bible. I sing. I have my guitar. I do this. And I said, and where are you going to church? He said, well, I'm not going to church. And I said, well, you know, we, as Christians, we ought to be plugged into a body of believers. Come to find out, he was part of a church. His father had passed away in Iran. No one reached out to him. It was the same time I was trying to reach out to him that all that happened. But what he found was a group of people who like to go hiking and like the outdoors, and that's great. But he started spending all of his time away from church people. And so now, 2 years later, I have very little contact with him. He posts things on social media that are not very Christ-like. He is thinks he's living in freedom, the freedom that Canada offered him. He thinks he's free because he goes hiking, he does what he wants to do, he lives how he wants to live. And I know a lot of people in the States are kind of that way too. I love America. I'm glad I'm born and raised in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm grateful for the country we have. I'm grateful for our military who serves us and keeps our freedom for us. But I think in America we have moved away from biblical freedom. And what this reminds me of is a story in the Bible. In Luke chapter 8, this is a story that when you read it, you might not necessarily think of freedom. But Luke chapter 8, verse 27, is a story about a demon-possessed man. Jesus and his disciples had just come across the lake, and they come across this man. And a lot of you know the story, and I want to read it to you, but I want to talk about it a little bit in regards to freedom. Verse 27 says, in Luke chapter 8, says, when Jesus had stepped out onto the land, there he met a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes. He had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? And he said, Legion, for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. And when the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man who, from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were very afraid. Now, I would submit to you that there are two types of freedom in this passage. There is one freedom that's kind of like the world's freedom. Here's a guy who wears what he wants to wear, says he ran around naked a lot of times. He went where he wanted to go. Chains couldn't hold him. Prisons couldn't hold him. He did whatever he wanted to do. And you might say, yeah, but that guy, that was the demons. That's not this guy. And that's true. He was possessed by demons. He was not free from the demons. But from a world's perspective, he's free. He does what he wants to do, goes where he wants to go, lives how he wants to live. But when we find that he's truly free, we find him seated in his right mind and at the feet of Christ. And I want to tell you, many Persians are living like this man, demon-possessed, full of not demons, but full of a Western mentality, full of materialism, full of the thought that freedom means I go where I want to go, I live how I want to live, I do what I want to do. And I long for Persians to know what it's like to be free in Christ. Vancouver has close to 70,000 Persians living there. There are maybe 500 of them who are believers, and I would say maybe fewer than that who know what it's like to be free in Christ. I would think, too, that even here today, there are many of you who don't really know what it's like to be free in Christ. And my desire is that you know what it's like to be free in Christ. Now, some of the Persians that I work with have gotten it. They know what freedom in Christ is like. They know there's a lady in our church who for years was in Iran, and she came to Vancouver about a year and a half ago. In fact, she's the mother of the guy I told you about a while ago who's not in the church anymore. And I've gotten to see him a few times because of his mother. His mother is very involved in our church. And she's had a lot of health problems, though. And one day, Tammy, my wife, and I were driving her to a doctor's visit. And she told me, she said, you know, in Iran, I had lots of things, but I was very scared. She said, but after I found Jesus, now living in Canada, I don't have much, but I'm not scared anymore. And she just told us that short little thing. And so the first time that I spoke to, I think it was a WOM group in Memphis where we were before we came to Oklahoma, I shared that little anecdote with them. And then I wrote her. We have this messaging system that all Persians have called Telegram, and it's a social media app. And I wrote her and said, hey, I shared this about you. They loved it so much. And she sent me a voicemail back that was 11 minutes long. And that voicemail was her testimony, and it was phenomenal. And I wanted to share that with you. It's not 11 minutes long, and it's not in Farsi, because that probably wouldn't do anybody any good here. But I wanted to share with you kind of a little bit about what it said. And this is from this lady that I won't say her name for security reasons. But she says, in Iran, I had everything you could want. My husband had two or three cars. I had a big house with a big garden, lots of friends. During Ramadan, Ramadan's the time of year when Muslims fast for 30 days, from sunup to sundown for 30 days. And at sunset, they break fast together, usually in big groups, and it's called iftar. And she said, during Ramadan at iftar, I would make food for 150 or 160 people. My house was full of people. I worked very hard to be a good Muslim, but I always feared death. Many nights I would lie awake and cry because I was so afraid of death. I told God, if I die, what will happen to me? I think that even though I serve you and try to be a good Muslim, I think that because I have so much fear of death, I'll probably go to hell if I die. Later, she says, I met some Christians who kept talking about Jesus, saying that he is God and that he died but came back from the dead. Here was a man who conquered death. And they told me that Jesus died on the cross for me, and not only for me, but for everyone in the world. And that if I would put my faith in him, he would give me eternal life in heaven with Christ. I had told them how much I feared death, knowing that I would go to hell when I died. At that time, I had read the Quran many times, and I started to read the Bible. As I read the Bible, I came to realize that this Bible is the truth. It truly is the Word of God. And when I got to Galatians, where Paul writes that the Jews and the Gentiles were the same in Christ, I knew that if I placed my faith in Christ, I too could be brought into the body of Christ. So as I read the Bible, I began to see the sins in my life. I fell to my knees and cried. And one night, I believed in Jesus, and the more I read the Bible, the less I feared death until today, while I'm living in Canada. I don't have anything, really. All the furniture that I do have has been donated to me. I live in a small studio apartment, but I have Jesus. And because of that, I lack nothing. I have freedom. All my sins were nailed to the cross with Christ, and I have eternal life. And when times are difficult for me, I can shut my eyes and go into the presence of the King of Kings who cares for me, and I don't fear death anymore. Hallelujah, she says. Thank you, Jesus, for your salvation and for your freedom. And here is someone who understands what it's like to be free. She has a tough life. She has back pain so severe that she can't really walk much. She can't get to the bus even a lot of times when her pain's bad. She has a tough, kind of tough life with her family. If you can imagine, her son's turned away from Christianity. She prays for him. Some of you can relate to that, I know. And it's tough for her. But she says, when things are tough, I can go into the presence of the King of Kings. And we have, as Christians, access to the presence of the King of Kings. We can be free. And back in Galatians chapter 5, is really all about freedom in Christ. Down toward the middle of chapter 5 in verse 13, Paul starts talking about freedom again. Verse 13 in Galatians 5, he says, "For you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Verse 15, "But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." So, freedom in Christ is not an opportunity to embrace the flesh. It's not an opportunity to live like the world. Many people throughout history, many of the Galatians to whom Paul is writing, are saying, "So if I'm free in Christ, I can do whatever I want to do." And you know, I believe it was a few weeks ago, Pastor Andy said, "Yeah, you can. But what you want to do if you're free in Christ is the things that honor God and the things that God has for you." And what we see throughout the Bible when we look at freedom in Christ, we see passages like in Psalms where God says, "Delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart." And think, you know, if you delight in the Lord, your desire is not money or fame or anything else, but your delight in the Lord. If you delight in the Lord, your desires are God and Scripture and worship. I think Paul tells us here, the Bible tells us here, it's not, your freedom is not an opportunity for the flesh. It's not an opportunity to say, to hold grudges, to be full of gossip or hostility. And I know a lot of people who might say, and I know a lot of Persians who say this too, they say, "Well, I just can't, I have the right to be angry at this person. You have no idea what this person did to me. You don't know what my situation is." And you're right, I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what a lot of the Persians I work with, what their situation is, but I do know who Christ is, and I do know what Christ has done for us, and I know that Christ can overcome any difficulty, any hostility, any grudges that we have. Christ can overcome anything that might be wrong in our lives. And so I would challenge you, as I challenge Persians that I work with, if there is anything in your life that you are kind of holding on to, holding over somebody's head, or some kind of grudge that you're holding, some kind of hostility you have inside, Paul says, the Bible says in verse 15, if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. And you know, that's what happens when we are filled with these things. We become kind of like the demon-possessed man. That man was kind of free. He did what he wanted to do, went where he wanted to go, wore what he wanted to wear. But he was weighted down. He was controlled by something else. And you, as an American, are free. You have freedoms that a lot of the world doesn't enjoy. One of those is gathering here. If this were taking place in Iran, we might be shut down. I mean, it wouldn't be possible, really. But a lot of the freedoms that you have in America, the freedom to feel the way you want to feel, the freedom to hold on to this or that, the freedom to go to places you want to go, a lot of those things can weight you down, like the demon-possessed man. They can control you, like the demon-possessed man. My friend that is out of church now up in Vancouver, he's being controlled by these negative emotions for the church. He's being controlled by these, by the desires of the world. And Christ sets us free. Sets us free from all of those things. The song we sang, one of the first songs we sang, Christ was born, he came to set his people free. And that's the reason that we celebrate Christmas. That's the reason that we have this meeting every Sunday. That's the reason we come to church. That's the reason we worship God. That's the reason we take his message to the ends of the earth. I don't live in Canada because it's a cool place to live. I'm not separated from my family because I don't like them anymore. I mean, I love my family. I desire to be with them. But God has asked me to go and take his word. I'm living in Canada because Christ died for me. I'm living in Canada because Christ longs to set people free. He longs to set you free if you've never known the freedom of Christ. And he longs to set the world free. I want to ask you today to not hold grudges. I want to ask you to not hang on to things that are weighing you down. But what I want to ask you to do, back in verse 13, he says, "But through love serve one another." In our Sunday school, small groups class, we were talking this morning about serving one another in love and what it's like to be in unity. And this is it. We serve one another in love. And if we would serve one another in love, we would see the gospel go many places, and we would see weights lifted from people's hearts. And so I challenge you to live in freedom, live in the freedom that Christ gives. I want you to pray for the Persian church, for the Persian believers and Persian non-believers. Pray for the believers that they would live in the freedom of Christ. You know, I love Arrow Heights Baptist Church. You guys are nothing but nice to us, to our family. But there's probably problems here. I mean, I don't know. My brother's a pastor, and I love his church too, but I know he's got some problems there. And I'll tell you, in our Farsi church of 25 people up in Vancouver, we have problems there. That's the way. I don't have your bulletin up here, but what does it say? What does it say on the front? We're rescued sinners. Yes, that's what I'm looking for. Yeah. So we're rescued sinners striving together to build one another up in Christ. And I would challenge you guys to serve one another in love. Think about someone that you have a grudge against or that you have a problem with, and don't go tell them, "I've got this problem with you, I want to make it right." But go serve them in love. Do something nice for them. Pray for them. And I would ask you to pray for the Persians. Pray for the ones in my church. Our church there is called Zendeh Church. Zendeh means living. If you can't remember Zenday, remember Living Church in Vancouver. And pray that they would live in freedom. Pray that they wouldn't gossip. Pray that they wouldn't hold grudges. Pray that they would love one another and serve one another in love. Pray for Persian non-believers, that they would come to know the freedom in Christ, that they can have in Christ. And I challenge you, embrace Christ's freedom in your own life. Again, serve one another in love and live at peace with one another. And so I would invite the music team to come up, and we're going to sing a final song. Maybe not a final song. We're going to sing a song. And if you've never known the freedom of Christ, I would challenge you today to submit to Christ, and you will find the joy and peace in life that you've never known before. It is for this reason that we celebrate Christmas, that Christ was born and came to set us free. And if you've never known freedom in Christ, find him today. There will be people out in the lobby. If you need to pray, the altar's open. Brother Andy will be down here too. And if you need a church to join, like I said, I love this church. You won't find a more Bible-preaching, Bible-believing, missions-oriented church than this one in this area. And so join the church today. But commit your life to Christ and be with him, be free in Christ as you celebrate this Christmas season. It'll be the best thing you've ever done. Yeah, let's pray. God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to open your word, to learn from it. God, I thank you that you speak to us on a personal level. I thank you that you love us enough to send your son, God. I pray for Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, God. I pray that they would know, that everyone in this city would know your freedom. I pray for Arrow Heights Baptist Church, God, that you would light a fire in everyone's heart here, God, that you would help them to know your freedom, that they would love one another. And I pray, God, that you would open their hearts and open their mouths as they live out this Christmas season. Let them share your love and your word with everyone in their lives, God. Thank you for all you do for us, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray this.